Week 1, deinstitutionalization. What has been accomplished? Deinstitutionalization is the process by which individuals with mental health impairments were transitioned from long-term admission in psychiatric hospitals to community-based mental health services. The vast majority of individuals admitted to long-term residency in psychiatric hospitals were diagnosed with mental illness or developmental disabilities. The process of deinstitutionalization involved two steps. First, reducing the population in mental health institutions. Second, changing hospital procedures to eliminate dependency and other maladaptive behaviors. Regardless of your opinion regarding deinstitutionalization, the fact is that beginning in the 20th century, admissions to psychiatric institutions were growing. The growth in admissions often led to overcrowded conditions. Funding for the institutions was often tenuous, as funding was often cut during war times or economic declines. The institutions became well known to society less for the care and treatment of the mentally ill, but for abuse and negligence, which had become too prevalent in the institutions. Overcrowding, unsanitary living conditions, abuse, and poor treatment were the most common problems found in the institutions. Community-based alternatives to institutions were found as early as the 1920s. These community-based alternatives did not have a significant impact on institutional admissions. In fact, institutional admissions continued to increase up to the 1950s. Beginning with the advent of psychotropic medications, there was hope that deinstitutionalization could proceed and increase as the medications would allow the individuals with mental illness to live in the community. In the 1950s and 60s, there was worldwide push towards deinstitutionalization. There are a number of reasons that deinstitutionalization proceeded at a fast pace. Three of the most prominent were public and political desire for community-based mental health services, new medications, and financial imperatives from the state and federal government, who were eager to shift costs. Although deinstitutionalization has been positive for many patients, there has also been significant problems. The expectation that community care would lead to fuller social integration has not been achieved. For many of the mentally ill, unemployment, few social contacts, and social isolation in sheltered environments are significant problems which affect the ability of the mentally ill to function adequately. Community-based services are often haphazard and not coordinated and do not meet the needs of the mentally ill. In many communities, the mentally ill are often isolated in distinct areas which do not have contact with the rest of the community. Patients are often discharged without adequate preparation or support. Without adequate resources or interventions, the mentally ill often end up homeless or in prison. In many cases, the individual discharged from an institution has lost contact with their family, or their family is unable to continue supporting the individual. This lack of familial support serves to further isolate the individual. Also, individuals released from psychiatric institutions often suffer psychotic symptoms such as delusional thought content, which could include paranoia or persecution. These symptoms make it especially difficult for the individual to treat appropriately because of their delusions. The delusions prevent them from seeking help or assistance. Instead, their symptoms increase the resistance to intervention. By the end of the week, you should be able to 1. Analyze how criminal justice systems and mental health interact. 2. Identify current issues regarding deinstitutionalization. 3. Explain the impact of deinstitutionalization on the criminal justice system and society. The resources and activities this week will assist you in further exploring the deinstitutionalization movement.